we've talked a lot about the state health plan, and that continues to dominate the headlines. Just curious from your perspective, where are we at with it? Are we making progress? Is it still a tough spot? Maybe both things can be true at the same time.
Both things are true. We are firmly in the phase of putting out the fire. That phase, I hope, will conclude at the May board meeting, where we have a plan to go forward to fix the $500 million deficit in 2026. We've had multiple meetings on that. We've been all over the press on that. I think there's lots of different pieces of that that are not particularly popular with anybody, but as closing any deficit, sure, you're going to have to do some uncomfortable things. In the May meeting, we want to turn the page to how do we make this plan sustainable and how do we make this plan better. And so we're hopeful to get to that phase in May. At worst, it'll be the summer, but we're getting there.
Have you had encouraging conversations with lawmakers or with Governor Stein as it relates to the state health plan?
We've had encouraging conversations with a lot of people. I think everyone understands the gravity of it, the immediacy of it, and there are a number of innovative solutions out there. We're going to run a series of pilots to try to see if those solutions will work for us. We have the challenge and the blessing of scale.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't always work for us at 760,000 members. But the good news is we have 760,000 members, so we can bring scale if those solutions are big enough.
We've talked a lot about those so-called weight loss drugs that are seeing results. Treasurer Falwell, your predecessor, talked a lot about those. Curious where you're at on those as it relates to the state health plan.
So the retail price of these keeps falling. I keep saying capitalism works, mm-hmm, and everybody understands that these drugs are effective. And so we need to get back to covering them for the state employees who really need them the most. Our issue was that we couldn't distinguish between somebody who wanted them for 5 or 10 pounds and somebody who really needed them for 100 pounds. We're in the process of trying to amend our contract with our provider to allow us to distinguish between those populations. We need to be able to do that first. Second, price needs to fall. Mm-hmm. We can't pay what they're asking even now. But that's happening. As competition comes to the market in 2026 and 2027, we'll see it. We'll also see an oral form of these medications, mm-hmm, which will be even better.
In terms of figuring out who needs it, how do you go about that process of figuring out, okay, you need this, but maybe you don't?
Right. There's a lot of gray in that conversation. We have a number of members who have chronic obesity, who have comorbidities alongside it, whether it's diabetes, heart disease, joint issues. And so we want to start with those who are most acute and work our way down to those who are less. BMI tends to be a proxy for that. It's not a perfect proxy. But we will start there. It depends on how much money we have to fund this and what the price of the drugs is in the end.
We talked, I think, when you were here last month or a couple months ago about Aetna now taking over as the primary provider for the state health plan. Still pleased with the work that they are doing as the administrator?
Yes. I mean, it is incredibly complicated work. We process something like 40,000 claims a day. So it's no surprise that some of those were off, mm-hmm, initially. They have really committed themselves to fixing the problems when we find them. They've been adaptable, and they've been a great partner. In the end, I believe that Aetna was hired because what they allow us to do from a technology and a data perspective in the future is fundamentally different. That's going to be the key to fixing healthcare for us, is actually knowing what we buy, what we pay for it, and how it's gone historically so that we can direct our patients to better quality care at a lower price.
Visiting with State Treasurer Brad Briner, there's been a little bit of back and forth between your office and the governor over funding the state retirement system. And for our listeners who may not be kind of aware of where we're at on this, can you give us kind of the download on the back and forth and how we move forward with this?
Sure. To simplify it, and there's a lot of simplifying assumptions here, but I think the governor would agree with this. What we're discussing is how quickly we pay off our debt in the state pension plan. We have about a $16 billion unfunded deficit. We have a current policy where we pay that off over about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what he is arguing is that we're essentially should go to 15 or 17 years. That is still pretty conservative, by the way, relative to other states. So that's the crux of the argument. We are defending the existing policy. He prefers a policy that is more akin to what other states do, and the actuaries would tell you is fine.
What about the board that you want to create to help manage the retirement system's investments? Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. So it's a big week at Department of State Treasurer, and one of the reasons for it is we're filing that bill this week. We have this model of sole fiduciary where, you know, if I wake up in the morning, I can go in the office and buy $20 billion of single stock if I wanted to. That's not the best way to manage investments.
Sure.
To have a little bit more discipline, a little bit more breadth of opinion required, and maybe a bit more process should lead to better results. And we haven't had great results as investors. We've been 49th or 50th in the country over any material period in our investment performance. And that's one of the primary reasons we have the pension deficit to begin with. So how do we fix that? We're going to put in place hopefully a five-person board appointed from different parts of the government with real investment expertise as a requirement to sit on that board. And it will allow us a staggered, long-term approach to a better investment strategy.
To that end, we've talked a lot about the state perhaps investing in cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. Any progress being made on that front?
Yes. In the end, we need more tools available to us to invest the pension assets. One of the areas that we find really attractive today is below investment grade debt. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are high, and we're actually at our legislative cap on how much we can own of that kind of security. Bitcoin, crypto, same kind of thing. There are in statute limitations around certain things we can and can't do that were last updated in 2012. Yeah. The world has changed, and the world will continue to change. So how do we set up a governance architecture that endures rather than needing to be revisited every 5 or 7 years? And crypto is part of that. Do you allow the investment authority to make decisions like that subject to an aggregate risk limit, which is where I think particularly the General Assembly should opine.
We've talked about a lot of the same topics that have been making headlines. I know that you're doing other stuff outside of the state health plan and weight loss drugs and crypto. What are some of the other big things you want to highlight that the Office of the Treasurer is doing?
Sure. We have a lot on our plate.
Yeah.
First, state and local finance. There is essentially a hangover going on in many municipalities in the state where a lot of COVID money was appropriated one time, and those places didn't necessarily think it was one time. They thought it would keep coming. Mm. And so we're working through a lot of issues with state and local governments around how they finance themselves going forward and how they're sustainable. We have 1,100 municipalities in the state, so there's a lot of different things going on in a lot of different places, one. And two, we're trying to evolve the way that we do things at the Department of State Treasurer. And we'll have a big announcement later this week on kind of a fundamental re-architecting of some of the information systems that we do. So we're excited about that, but I'm not going to give it away until Thursday.
With local governments, I'm curious as it relates to Hurricane Helene and the work that you have to do with those local governments in Western North Carolina that are still reeling from that storm that devastated that part of the state.
So we set up the Hurricane Helene cash flow lending program in about 7 weeks from a standing start. We've never done lending of any sort in the Department of State Treasurer. So we're proud of that effort. We are about $40 million, I believe, out the door to those municipalities out of the 100 that we were appropriated. We think another 30 plus goes out the door this week or next week. We're really waiting on the municipalities at this point. Mm-hmm. They have to pass a resolution that they want the money. There's a little bit of game theory, too, going on right now where if they get FEMA reimbursements, they have to pay back the loans. Mm. So they're hopeful to get FEMA reimbursements, then take the loans. We're happy to accommodate whatever they want to do. We're happy to support the relief efforts however we can. But there's been great effort by our team, and we're proud of it.
A couple thoughts as I let you go. NC cash, still a thing, right? We want people to go try to claim that money that's owed to them.
We absolutely do. So nccash.com, if you haven't looked yet, please look today. One in seven people, we think, in the state has money there. We have well over $1 billion there, so hopefully you'll find a big chunk. NCCash.com, go see what you can find there.
What's the biggest thing you want to leave our listeners with this morning, Mr. Treasurer?
So I think the final thing I'll leave you with is April begins Financial Literacy Month. And obviously, as the state treasurer, that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. So look for our newsletter to launch, a bunch of efforts around that to make sure that folks are well-informed on a financial basis. Starting April 1st.
Great stuff. State Treasurer Brad Breiner, always great to see you. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.